Reading the Prabhupada books. Yeah. Otherwise, we don't really get a real picture of what reality is about. Because you're going to school, no? Yeah. What school is that?
It's a public school. Yeah, public school in Brisbane.
And how do they relate to your being a devotee?
Not at all. I think there's only one or two devotees who actually go to that school.
But do the rest of the people know, or do they know? The students know, teachers know.
They know I'm vegetarian, but not specifically devotee.
Did you want to ask about something?
Just a couple of questions. Probably one of the main questions I'm wondering is, since we're, not the only planet, how other planets would view Krishna? We see him in, a humanish form. How would other planets view that? Would they view it as the same, or...?
Well, different planets have different kinds of forms. There, some of them are human. Higher planets look human, or rather, we look like them, somewhat. But we're more restricted, and bodies are made of much more gross elements. Just like in the heavenly planets, they have very subtle bodies, and even further up, they have even more subtle bodies. And Lord Brahma's body is the most subtlest, and so are others who live there. So they have different bodies, and because their bodies are made of different substance, and actually the whole place is different, you only see what your eyes let you see. So even if they go to the moon, they can only see what the moon would look like on Earth, or at least what material eyes let the moon see. You don't see it actually for what it is. So the idea that there's nothing there is just a very silly and immature vision. Just because I can't see anything, there's nothing there. It's like if an ant crawls up my arm and you ask him what it sees, he's going to say there's nothing there. Is there really nothing there? I'm here. He can't relate to me. All he just sees is sort of a lifeless place. So, depending on your consciousness, then you'll see more or you'll see less. That's why people, no matter where they go, if they go anywhere, they'll never see anything more than what their consciousness allows them to see.
How would that work exactly when it relates to when your expected life would end? What would happen?
When you're what?
Like I'm just not too sure how, like, being a ghost would work.
You mean that when you commit suicide, you become a ghost, and...
Like, what happens then?
Then you have a ghost body, which means... Suicide means you kill your gross body. So, therefore, you don't deserve another one. Therefore, you only have a subtle body. And, of course, even that, which is really made of mind and intelligence, although there's, even that's encased in sort of a subtle covering, and that's what then a ghost is, a soul. But he doesn't have a gross body, so why should you get something that you destroy? So life karma means then you don't get a another gross body.
I was wondering what determines when that time is over, when you like finish becoming ghosts.
Everything has a term of punishment, just like in there are. First, there's judges in a court, and then there's laws. And the laws give general guidelines, and because, or terms, maybe they give a maximum limit and a minimum limit and correlate a crime with years in prison, but ultimately it's a judge to determine what relates to what correlates to what. And so Yamaraj is the judge, and he works on the basis of laws that are already pre-established by Krishna or by nature, material nature. And then, so someone may be a ghost for a long time, someone may be a ghost for a short time.
This isn't as important, but I was wondering, why is it wrong to eat onion and garlic?
Why then?
Why is it wrong to eat onion and garlic?
I can't make out what you're saying because you're sort of mumbling.
Why is it wrong to eat onion and garlic?
It's not sattvic food. It's tamasic food, and it's not really classified as food according to our standards. It's like telling you, why not eat the bark of the tree? I mean, you can if you want to, but it's not food.
Yeah.
So onion and garlic isn't food. Just because it's edible doesn't mean that it's food. Poison is edible, but that doesn't make it food.
Okay.
And you can put a lot of other things in your mouth, but that's still not food. And then, of course, what happens when people eat lots of onion and garlic? Yeah, they smell.
Yeah.
Yeah, they smell, and that becomes it becomes offensive to other people as well. You don't necessarily want to talk to someone who stinks.
Yeah.
So people should live in a way that they cause minimal disturbance to other people. And. But they have medicinal value.
Yeah.
And they're more, especially garlic, used on a medicinal basis. But, you know, just like aspirin has medicinal value, but you don't throw it in your sabji just because it's edible and it has some medicinal value. Unfortunately, people don't really know what they should or shouldn't eat, and they eat all kinds of horrible things. So they'll, even the whole idea of eating meat is so uncivilized.
Yeah.
What to speak of eating the flesh of cows. And Australia's one of the biggest beef exporters in the world. So there's a simple maxim that, you know, you are what you eat, and you become. If what you eat is a product of violence, then you're naturally going to be influenced by that type of thing. Same thing, if you eat things that induce ignorance, then you become ignorant. So it's modes of material nature. Spiritual life is about coming to goodness. Therefore, people should stay away from things that counteract goodness, activities, food, and so many other things. Like, unfortunately, modern day education is also all about making people ignorant. They use the word education, but actually, that's just the word. Just like, I don't know, I can call this table a knife, but it's not going to change what the table is. The table is still a table, whatever I call it. So I can call ignorance education, but unfortunately it still remains ignorance. And it makes people ignorant, because real knowledge is, Krishna describes what knowledge is in the Bhagavad Gita, and what the ingredients are. Amayamitvam madambitvam ahingsaksham tirajavam acharyo pasmam socham staira atma vinigriha indriya niryateshu anahankara sank. So, amayamitvam madambitvam, pridelessness, fearlessness, mercy, cleanliness, austerity, celibacy, simplicity. They don't teach it in school. But that's knowledge. And then Krishna says, everything aside from this is ignorance. So it's, and the result is, and you can see the result, that as people, as the whole world progresses, they get further and further away from real understanding of the way things are. They may be trending in yoga and so-called spirituality, but they haven't got the faintest idea of what spirit means, or how to live in a spiritual way. So that's why it's important to read Prabhupada's books, so that we have a real perspective of what's going on with us and around us, and that we don't get too absorbed. Since it's a legal requirement, and one may have to go to school, but it should just be an instrument. Shouldn't take it too seriously and get too absorbed in it. All this is it's a new concept. It's a modern concept. All this education, it didn't exist for thousands and millions of years. Of course, modern man thinks because they've learned so many new things, but that's not the case. It's because people were more spiritual previously, and they knew that this was all a waste of time. All you need to do is feed yourself and learn how to live simple life and use your time in self-realization. People getting up here in the morning and then they're going to travel an hour and a half to work and then they're going to travel an hour and a half to come back. What kind of life is that? Just so that they can eat, basically. That's about all they manage to do, is to survive. But you can do that in your own backyard. You only have to walk a few feet to be able to do that. But because people are brainwashed, systematically brainwashed by modern educational system and political system and society at large, therefore they general mass of people who are really sort of innocent, they're misled. So we shouldn't allow ourselves to get misled. Hare Krishna.